Welcome to Practical Christian Living.
The goal of prophecy is edification. That is, that someone would be edified by what you say, by what you share. Exhortation, which would be encouragement. There's edification and there's encouragement, and then there's comfort. Speaking in prophecy is to bring all of those.
We are back to the topic of spiritual gifts as we move on to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And when talking about gifts like prophecy and speaking in tongues, it can become oh so easy to get prideful and begin thinking we're all that. But those gifts are given to us by the Holy Spirit to encourage and comfort others within the body of Christ and to glorify God, not ourselves. With more on the beautiful purpose of spiritual gifts out of 1 Corinthians 14, here's Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary, Tucson.
We had learned in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 that the church in Corinth was carnal. The people, the individuals were carnal. Paul said, I wish I could write to you as to spiritual people, but you're not. You are carnal. It means that they were seeking their own way. It means that they took things which were spiritual and they were twisting them to do something that was carnal in their lives. He also said of them in chapter 1, you come behind in none of the spiritual gifts. Therefore, it should not be surprising to us that this church that excelled in all of the spiritual gifts would have things that weren't done in order because they were carnal. They were not spiritual. Paul has dealt with them about things in their church services that were out of order, from divisions and seeking after personalities, from the way that the culture was, that women were in the culture, and the way that women were operating in the church. You remember that in chapter 11. And finally, Paul gets to chapter 12 and he starts to talk about the gifts of the Spirit. It's a great chapter where we learn that we have a position in the body and we've been given gifts. And those gifts are for you to minister to each other. If you're not using the gift that God's given you, then we are lacking because of it. If you have a position in the body and that's not being filled by the supernatural work of the gifts, which is an absolutely amazing thing. When we talk about the gifts of the Spirit, remember, we're not talking about talents. Some of you guys were born with talents. We're not talking about that. We're not talking about skill. Some of you guys have developed skills over years of working, doing the same job day after day. You're highly skilled at what you do. We're not talking about talents. We're not talking about skills. We're talking about gifts, something that is given to you by God that is supernatural, and it's so supernatural that it manifests to you that you have received the Holy Spirit. It's the manifestation of the Spirit of God inside of you. The manifestation may even be for others as well, that others can see the Spirit working inside of you, that they would know that you have been filled with the Holy Spirit. Before he ever talks about the misconduct that's taking place in the church in Corinth, he talks to them about love. And he says, I show you a more excellent way, and that is that we would walk in love towards one another. More important than anything else is love in the life of a Christian. It is the highest call. It is the highest level that we operate in love towards one another. And I am constantly praying that God would increase our love towards one another, that God would knit our hearts together. It's one of the reasons that we interact as a body. It's one of the reasons God called us to do this, so that love could be present. Love covers a multitude of sins. Love believes all things, bears all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. You remember the great chapter 13, which we looked at last Wednesday night. Now Paul starts this chapter out, and really it is the chapter about their misconduct in their services. And so Paul starts it off by saying, pursue love. Just kind of a reminder of where he just came from. Pursue love. That is the pursuit of every Christian. That is the sign of maturity. That is the sign of the Spirit working inside of you, because the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And so we are to pursue love. Are you? Are you in your relationships, in your family, in your home, at work, among one another? Pursue love. And then he says, and desire spiritual gifts. It's not that spiritual gifts are bad, they are good. He said all the way back in chapter 12, desire the best gift, and yet I show you a more excellent way. Gifts are good, love is better. Pursue love now, he says, and desire spiritual gifts. I want the gifts that God would give me. I want them all. I've always wanted all of the gifts that God has for me. I have never been afraid of the things of God. I've never been afraid for us to make mistakes. Years ago, we used to do afterglows on a regular basis. I would start off the afterglows with a little speech about how we were to conduct. We were going to wait, and silence was okay. And if God moved you in a prophecy or in a tongue, then that was okay. We wanted an interpretation after that. Sometimes we would be so paralyzed, so afraid of mistakes that nobody would say anything. People were like, I ain't saying the wrong thing here now. I just heard a speech for 15 minutes about how gifts are supposed to operate, and I'm not going to be the one to do the wrong one. So I started adding in at the end of that speech, it's okay to make mistakes. You know, the Bible says where the ox is, the stall is not clean. In other words, got some cleaning up to do. But then it goes on to say, but much power comes by the strength of the ox. In other words, it's a good thing to have the ox, even if you got some cleaning up to do, right? You got to go muck out the stall. That's never fun, but there's a lot of power in the strength of the ox. And so I started using that verse and saying, let's not be afraid to make mistakes. Let's not be afraid to do something. Hey, we're going to step out in faith, and God can honor that. God knows our heart, that we want to do what is right. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 14 was really in a church that was kind of going haywire on a lot of different levels. And so Paul wants to talk to them about the proper use of the gifts of the Spirit in services. Now, it doesn't necessarily mean big services either. It's just when they're gathering together. Jesus talked about where two or three of them gathered together. It would seem that the gifts of the Spirit would operate more efficiently in a smaller group than it would in a larger group. This is all. It's not just the church service, the main church service. It's all the time that churches gather together. Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, he says, but especially that you may prophesy. You remember we talked about spiritual gifts operating in different ways, that we don't have one definition or one way in which prophecy worked. Prophecy works different in different ministries, among different people, in different activities. But prophecy is speaking for God. It's the ability to say something for God. A pastor that has the gift of prophecy would be preaching and speaking prophecy. An individual that would have the gift of prophecy would feel like God gave a word for someone. You might go to that person and say, I believe God gave me a word for you. You might just go to them and say, I want to share something with you. You don't necessarily have to have all the pomp and circumstances. I know the prophets in the Old Testament were known for their pomp and circumstances, the way that they would do things, but you don't necessarily have to have that. But Paul says, desire spiritual gifts. The one that they wanted more than anything was tongues, but he says, especially that you may prophesy. He has a reason for that. He says, for he who speaks in tongues does not speak to men, but to God. Now that's an important verse. It says in Acts chapter 2, when the Holy Spirit was poured out on the church, that they all heard them in their own languages magnifying God. When tongues first happened, it wasn't them preaching in a different language to other people. It was them worshiping and magnifying God. Now we're given a definition of what speaking in tongues is, and that is your spirit speaking mysteries to God. When you speak in tongues, if you have the gift of tongues or if you're to receive the gift of tongues, it will be you speaking to God. In other words, it will be magnification. It will be praise. It will be exalting him. He goes on to say, for no one understands. He says, for he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. For no one understands. However, in the Spirit, he speaks mysteries. But he who prophesies speaks edification, exhortation, and comfort to men. The goal of prophecy is edification. That is, that someone would be edified by what you say, by what you share. Exhortation, which would be encouragement. There's edification and there's encouragement, and then there's comfort. Speaking in prophecy is to bring all of those. I note that it doesn't say, but he who prophesies discourages people. I note that because a lot of times the people that have the gift of prophecy bring discouragement upon people. They're like, let me ruin your day. The Lord told me something for me to ruin your day. But he says that the prophecies is for edification, exhortation, and comfort to men. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, which is interesting. But he who prophesies edifies the church. Now, in Acts chapter 10, when Peter went to Cornelius' house, began to preach to them, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak in tongues, Peter says again, we heard them praising and magnifying God. So when you speak in tongues, your spirit is speaking mysteries to God. You are praising Him. You are worshiping Him. That's a great gift to have. I have the gift of tongues. I received it when I was young. And still to this day, the time that I use tongues most often is when I'm distressed, when there's something going on in my life, and I want to go to the Lord and I want to pray about it. Something in the life of one of my children, and I just want to focus in on God before I get into what's really heavy on my heart, and I'll find that I speak in tongues at that point. You know, the Bible here says it's edifying, which is interesting to me, because we think when we are worshiping, we're edifying God, and I think that's true, and worship is not for you, it is for God, but I also believe, according to this verse, that there's something self-edifying about worship. That if we can worship, if we can put the world away and we can worship Him, that we are edified as we do. I think of Paul and Silas as they're in the Philippian prison. They're chained face down. They've been beaten by rods. And the Bible says about midnight, they began to sing hymns. And the room that they were in was shaken, and the chains that held them broke open, and the door to the prison swung open. And I wonder if God isn't giving us something that happens during praise. We are self-edified during praise, and we're not doing it for that formula. We're not like, well, I want to be edified, so praise you, Lord, we worship you. When we praise Him, when we lift Him up, the reason that we are edified is because we are now putting things in perspective. We are putting God in His proper place, and with God in His proper place, even being chained in a prison suddenly doesn't have such severity to it. All of a sudden, we begin to see the world more as it really is. We're putting those things in that proper perspective, and because of that, we are edified. And so when you speak in tongues, you are edifying yourself. When you prophesy, whether that's through teaching, whether that's through something God lays upon your heart, you're seeking to exhort, you're seeking to edify, and you're seeking to comfort. And so he says, if a person speaks in tongues, he edifies himself. But he who prophesies edifies the church. I wish all spoke with tongues. This is Paul personally. Doesn't mean everybody speaks with tongues. Some have taken this verse and said, well, what Paul was saying is that everybody has the gift of tongues. Paul wished that it would, but he didn't say that. He said, I wish that you all spoke in tongues. It's like in, I think it's 3 John verse 1, where he says, above all things, my beloved Gaius, I wish that you were prospered in good health. And so people read that and go, see, above anything, God wants you to prosper and be in good health. Except you got to take it in context. You can make the Bible say anything you want to make it say if it's out of context. Yes, John wanted his beloved friend Gaius to prosper and be in good health above everything else. But as in what God wanted, above all things, the Bible says, have a fervent love for one another. That's what God wants. That's what the scriptures say. And so he says, I wish that you all spoke in tongues. He's simply telling them it's a good thing to speak in tongues. You are self-edified when you speak in tongues, but he's going to tell them not to do it so much. But he wants them to know by telling them not to do it so much, he's not telling them it isn't important. He says, I wish you all spoke in tongues, but even more that you prophesied. For he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks in tongues. Why? Because if I'm speaking in tongues, then I'm being edified. I'm worshiping God. But if I'm prophesying, then I'm ministering to you. And that's why it's greater. It's not that the person who prophesies is greater in stature or in position than the person who speaks in tongues, but simply it's a higher call because of the edification factor. He says, unless indeed he interprets that the church may receive edification. Now he introduces the idea of interpretation, that there is a gift of interpretation where someone speaks in tongues and another person can hear that gift. Now, Because every time that you see tongues used in the Bible and spoken of in the Bible, it's prayer, it's magnification, it's your spirit speaking mysteries to God. The majority of time that I have heard tongues used, and I started going to a charismatic church when I was 14 years old. From there, I went to an Assembly of God's church. From there, I went to a Foursquare church. All of them had gifts of the Spirit that were operating during church services. I would hear someone speak in tongues. Sometimes, by the way, it was the same person. It was the same gal. She would get fired up beforehand, and she would make some noises that you would know it was on its way. So at the end of a worship song, you would all sit here and go, ooh, she'd get, that's exactly what it sounded like. And if I brought somebody to visit, I would go, oh, no. She would speak in tongues, and inevitably my buddy would say, what was that? Now, what Paul is saying is that there is tongues that are given, and that's what it would sound like. Somebody would speak in a language that we don't know, and then somebody else would interpret it. The interpretation should be a praise. Thus says the Lord, we worship you, we lift you up, we praise your name. That should be the interpretation. And I've heard that a few times, not a lot. Most often what I hear is a prophecy. Someone speaks in tongues and someone says, thus says the Lord, you are my people and I love you and I have you in my hands and I'm going to do a work. There's someone here who's this or that, and they kind of give a prophecy. I'm not saying that they weren't moved to give that prophecy. I'm not saying that that prophecy wasn't from God. The Bible says, let one prophesy and let the others judge. And if there's nothing in a prophecy that is overtly wrong, or if prophecy follows mostly Scripture, then I think we can receive it. If prophecy doesn't follow Scripture and there's something that is overt and challenging in it, then you've got to judge whether or not that prophecy is from God. And I'm not saying that prophecy wasn't from God, but what I am saying is that was not the interpretation. That's where when we first started doing afterglows, we're talking 30 years ago now. We first started doing afterglows, even longer than that. We would have somebody speak in tongues, and then we would have a prophecy that would be given. And then I would say, okay, well, that was a prophecy, but we're going to wait for the interpretation of the tongues. And we would wait, we would wait, we would wait. And that's where pretty soon people were like, I'm not going to talk anymore. We're not going to say anything. Our afterglows became like great, what I called cricket services. Because everybody became so afraid to do anything that they might do something that's wrong. So again, I would find myself saying, it's okay. Hey, look, no one's perfect. If we make a mistake, there's no big deal. We just want to do things decently and in order. We want to do them as the Bible says for us to do. But that's the idea. So if there's an interpretation, then we would be able to hear someone praising and worshiping God, and then we would be edified because we heard him speaking a mystery to God and praising him. So he says, if there's an interpretation, there can be an edification. Verse 6, but now, brethren, if I come to you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you unless I speak with either a revelation, by knowledge, by prophesying, or by teaching, even things without life, whether flute or harp, when they make sounds, unless they make a distinction of sounds, how will it be known what is piped or what is played? For if the trumpet makes an uncertain sound, who will prepare for battle? I think he's using a couple of different ideas. The idea of a trumpet for battle, you know, trumpet calls out, and the soldiers know, gather together in battle array, let's go out to battle. Musicians play music, and it's played in such a way that we identify the song, and we go, oh yeah, this is that song, I like this song, and then we begin to sing that song. But if all these guys got up here and just started playing music, their own thing, whatever they wanted to play, whatever suited them, there wouldn't be any oneness at all. It would just be a bunch of noise. That's exactly what happens in some churches today. Sometimes, while the pastor is teaching, somebody in the church will start to speak in tongues. And I've seen the pastor kind of back away and wait for the tongues and wait for an interpretation if there was, and they get back into speaking. Sometimes, in between songs, everybody in the room speaks in tongues. The whole room just gets going in it in tongues. And so what Paul is saying, rather than having these things happening when we are together, let's do it when we're not together. Let's do it when you're edified, and when we're together, do things that are edifying for the entire body. And so he says, because otherwise, all that noise is going on, And you guys have heard it, right? I'm not the only one who's heard these things. You guys have been in church services like that, some of you, right? So likewise, you, unless you utter by the tongue words easy to understand, how will it be known what is spoken? For you will be speaking into the air. If there is no interpretation and you're speaking in tongues, then you're speaking into the air. There are, it may be, so many kinds of languages in the world, he goes on to say in verse 10, and none of them are without significance. Therefore, if I do not know the meaning of the language, I shall be a foreigner to him who speaks, and he who speaks will be a foreigner to me. Even so, you, since you are zealous for spiritual gifts, they wanted spiritual gifts. He's not condemning them for that. I'm not condemning the churches that I grew up in. They were zealous for spiritual gifts. And I have told you before that I was blessed in a lot of different ways in going to the Pentecostal and charismatic churches that I went to, specifically with the expectancy that God was going to move. I like that. I loved when I went to church as a teenager and would sit down, and before the church ever started, I would be waiting, sensing in anticipation that God was going to do something. He was going to speak to me. God was going to move. I like that. I think it's good. It's good that they're zealous for spiritual gifts. It's not good that there ends up being chaos. It's good that they're zealous for spiritual gifts. It's not good when everybody starts making animal noise and barking and growling like elephants. It's good to desire those gifts. And so Paul says, you are zealous for spiritual gifts. Let it be for the edification of the church and not that you seek to excel. See, that's the thing. Because sign gifts are done by an individual. A person stands up and speaks in a tongue or stands up and gives a prophecy. They draw attention to themselves. And because a carnal person wants attention for themselves, they want people to say, my, that's a spiritual person. My, that person really loves God. Wow, you know, they speak in tongues every time we come into church. They're seeking for themselves to excel. It's a selfish thing rather than for the entire body to be blessed. He says in verse 13, therefore, let him who speaks in a tongue pray that he may interpret. If you have the gift of tongues, pray that you would have the gift of interpretation. For if I pray in a tongue, notice you're praying in a tongue. If I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is the conclusion then? I will pray in the spirit, and I will also pray in my understanding. Paul says, for me personally, the conclusion is I'm going to do both. I will sing in the spirit, and I will also sing in my understanding. Otherwise, if you bless with the spirit, how will he who occupies the place of the uninformed say amen at your giving of thanks? Note again, when you're speaking in tongues, you're giving thanks. If you're praying in tongues and you give thanks and someone can't hear you, how can they say amen at your giving of thanks? If there's an interpretation, then we can say amen. Since he does not understand what you say, for you indeed give thanks well. It's a good thing to give thanks, but the other is not edified at all. I thank my God, I speak with tongues more than all of you. What a statement by Paul there, by the way. I thank God, I speak in tongues more than all of you. Did he mean more than all of you combined? Or did he mean more than any one of you? I don't know. But Paul had the gift, and he said, I thank God, I speak in tongues more than all of you. Yet in the church, I would rather speak five words with my understanding that I might teach others also than 10,000 words in tongues.
We hope you've been blessed, encouraged, and edified by what you've heard here on Practical Christian Living, a ministry of Calvary Chapel here in Tucson, Arizona. If you'd like to hear more of Robert Furrow's teachings, visit calvarytucson.com, where you'll find recordings of weekly services at Calvary Tucson, and also archives of Practical Christian Living programs. If you live in the Tucson area or you're ever visiting our community, we'd love for you to stop by one of our two campuses in East and Southwest Tucson. You can find service times online at calvarytucson.com. We'd love to have you visit for Bible study. Drop into our Solid Ground coffee shop and bookstore, or take a minute to look through our Mission Thrift Store located at our West Campus, which benefits our various missions projects. Have you accepted Jesus into your life or have questions about salvation? Email us at saved@calvarytucson.com. That's S-A-V-E-D at calvarytucson.com. And don't forget to follow us on social media, Instagram at Calvary Tucson or Facebook at Calvary Chapel Tucson. And we want to remind our local listeners that you can watch Practical Christian Living Sunday mornings at 8:30 on KGUN9. May you walk in the grace and peace of Jesus today.